grace, and we should not take it lightly. You gave your Son to save mankind, and mankind is doing a fine job of turning away from you, thinking they know you and they know you not. I thank you that at one time I was the same way, but now I'm saved through the death of your Son on the cross, and he was buried and raised again, and I am now justified. He gives me goosebumps, and I can't wait to be in heaven. I don't know very much about it, but I know it's where your glory is. And I pray and thank you and lift up fellow believers. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Donald.
I just wanted to say, I don't know, everybody might already know about it, but anyway, Saturday in Gonzales, Amy Berto was having a little benefit for that
And Christy sent that out as well, yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't know if everybody knew, but anyway.
No, it's great to mention it. You know, see if we can get ourselves unbusy and do something else. I'm the chief of busy right now. You know, Paul may have been chief center, but I'm the chief of busy right now. I brought it in because I get a little twinge, but I'm doing a lot better. And like I told Christy or anybody, I put it out there for prayer, and I believe strongly in prayer, big time. I'm ready for the wheelchair, you know, if it should come in. I practice on it, and not where I want to be. And I have a doctor's appointment Friday, and we'll schedule a second MRI to see from 4 years ago today where we are. So we'll see. But anyway, I just want my testimony. I know now what it is, and I don't want to cheat on my testimony telling you, because, you know, now I have the knowledge and I can rightly divide the word of truth. But I can tell you that when I was a kid, I mean young, I used to stay up nights trying to figure out where the universe began and where it ended, and I could never figure it out. Today I can't figure it out, but I accept it. And it used to bother the fire out of me, and I could not go to sleep as a youth. I will tell you that I tell people all the time, when I give the testimony, that we lived on Highland Road, which is a nice stretch of road now. When it was us, we were just rural. And grew up on 2.5 acres. Had a nice life, considering what my mom went through. Divorce, a husband that didn't do what he should do. But every time something major would come up, or something that was disconcerting to me or whatever, I don't know what it was. We had trees, we had beauty, we had everything around us, we had acreage, we had great neighbors. But when I had a problem and wanted to be alone, and all this acreage, there's an oak tree in the corner of the pasture I'd go to, climb up the fence, climb in the oak tree. I could marvel at the stars, I could marvel at the moon. And so when it gets to the long and the short of it, I knew there was a God. I just knew it. And today, I know what it is because it's in Romans chapter 1, verses 19-20, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. There's another verse in Romans chapter 3, verse 11, that none seeketh after God. And that's always perplexed me, and not nearly as much today as it did then, because I can tell you I was seeking God. But what that verse means to me is that God's already put himself in us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He seeks after us to have that fellowship. But I knew there was a God. I was raised, on both sides were Catholics, and I mean, to tell you the truth, great people. Great people. I can't tell you anything about their salvation. I know they taught me a lot as I was a youth. Did not participate much in going to church or anything like that with them. But I mean, they just had a respect going with them, a morality going with them, and I like that. But anyway, starting my high school year, I ran into a young lady and we were dating, and I thought in order to have a good relationship with the lady or young lady, that we should be going to church. Well, they were Baptist. And I was nothing, so it didn't bother me at all. You know, I knew there was a God or whatever, and I wanted to know God. I respected Pam, is her name, very much. Respected her father very much. And so we went to a little church on Starring Lane. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Brother A.O. was the preacher there. And again, cheating and looking back, Brother A.O. was moved on for another preacher, and I didn't care much for that, and I didn't understand it, and I thought he was great. I don't want to get into the governments of church, but he no longer existed. And eventually moved over to University Baptist Church, and that was pretty good. And then, lo and behold, I got a divorce, and well, doesn't matter. You get a divorce, no matter whose fault it is. Well, we're talking nine years. It's 9 years. Dated her through high school, and after high school was over, everybody says, you need to get married, you need to get married, you need to get married, and we did, and 4 years later, she liked other people more than she liked her husband. I'll leave it at that. So anyway, I didn't go to that church anymore. Didn't feel right, didn't fit right. But there just happened to be, which I tried to despise, because there was a Baptist church right across the street on Lee Drive. I mean, I can see the parking lot and part of the building. I thought that was really cheating, going to a church real close by. But John Robinson was the preacher there. Had a great time. Learned a lot. Learned a lot. Learned a lot. Enjoyed going there. And I'm a workaholic, so I fit good in with the do-a-lots, too. But through that span of time, we owned B&E Vending, my mom and I, or I became part owner, but it was actually hers, neither here nor there. B&E Vending, and we had major accounts. Well, we got Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, and it was pretty cool because I was watching TV at night, and, you know, seeing all this and seeing all that, Pat Robertson, my favorite up until the last few minutes was Jimmy Swaggart. Fantastic preacher, did everything, but I could see that I didn't like how he closed his message because it didn't fit. It wasn't a hand and glove. It didn't fit with what he was preaching. And also we met some friends or youth. I met some friends, youth, going to Parkview. And during this time frame with Southern Baptist, anybody knows about it, and this is in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a problem with the Southern Baptists. They were losing churches because you had the Holy Rollies that were now saying they could do what the Pentecostals were doing, which was speak in tongues and so forth and so on. So I met some people over there, and they told me, you know, I sang a solo with a young lady. I'll just use her first name, Terry. I sang solos at, with her, or duets with her. And there was another young man named John who was went to the South Side. And so I had this dilemma going on in my life. I had my Baptist background. We had the Holy Roly Baptist making a division, and I had Jimmy Swaggart Ministries over here. It's making it simplistic to three ways of getting your word. In the grand scheme of things, then I met Melanie, and that's a whole another tale of its own. But I told her I did. I enjoyed going to church Sunday morning, Wednesday evening, and Sunday night. And she wanted to go out for ice cream. I was going out for ice cream afterwards. She says, you know, can I come? I said, well, I'm going to church first. And she offered to go to church with me. And that story is like I said, could go on and on. But the essence of that is that Melanie and I were going to Southside Baptist Church. We got married a year later after I met her. John Robson did the message and everything. So I'm married, and I'm going through this dilemma of Jimmy Swaggart Baptist and Holy Rollers. And what was funny, listening to Jimmy Swaggart, I knew a thing or two about speaking in tongues and all this. I knew that you had an interpreter, and you had the wisdom to know whether somebody was speaking in tongues or not. Well, one night, somehow, they cornered me over at a place. Still, I don't know where it was, what it was, anything, but they were going to lay hands on me, and I was going to speak in tongues. And I said, man, if I... they're going to know I'm not speaking in tongues. Anyway, my greatest theatrical feat, which I've never done since or hence, you know, is I spoke some gibberish. I just knew they were, I mean, it was made up. I already knew it was concocted. I wanted to be over with this. I wanted to be out. And it was concocted. Well, do you know that the Bible tells them that, I mean, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. They should know that I wasn't speaking tongues. No, they are all, hallelujah. I mean, that's funny because it is. I'm dancing around the room and all this and all. Well, I was fatigued. And so, you know, but I mean, they knew, I knew more knowledge about speaking in tongues than they did. And they should have nailed me to the cross, so to speak. So anyway, I've got all this dilemma going on. I'm a great Matthew's 28, 19 and 20, you know, go out and baptize the world and so forth and so on. Very Baptist. And, but I will tell you, one night I just told the Lord, I'm confused. And then 1 Corinthians 14:33, you're not the author of confusion. And if you're not the author of confusion, then I know that Satan is, and I don't want to be confused. And I prayed and prayed. And I thought I was saved, or believed I was saved while I was in the Baptist church. So I asked God, I don't want to be confused anymore. I didn't want to be confused anymore. And in Psalm, I mean, there's several verses in Psalms, but Psalms 119:89 talks about his word is settled in heaven, and if it's settled in heaven, nobody can touch it. And I'm still using the simplicity of my childhood to trust in God. So, moving forward, Campus Crusade for Christ had marriage enrichment weekend. And Melanie and I were engaged, so we wanted to go down and have God be a part of our life, be most important in our life. So we went down there, and we met some characters down there. Right, Christy? I mean, it's the craziest thing. It's you and John, Wayne and Lisa, I believe Don and Debbie were there. Richard?
They were at all of them.
I can't remember. All I know is we meet up with these people, and it's crazy. And I you know, I wish I knew the exact years. It's around the 80s, early 80s. But we're up there, and they're having, I'm laying out all, I remember Wayne most in particular. I'm laying out all my Baptist and my belief and my everything and this and that and the other thing and man. And, you know, I know my stuff as far as being a Baptist. And the other side of the coin is, you know, they knew a little bit of something, you know, but didn't rebuke or have anything too much to say to me. So in this interim of wanting truth and seeking God, because God's in me already, we come back from the Bible conference, I mean the marriage enrichment, and I'm doing Bible study with two men from Cebu, Gagi. And for whatever reason, we meet at the Shoney's on Airline Highway, which is no more, across from Jack Savins, which is no more, which was the Chinese whatever is no more. But anyway, we would meet there and have a Bible study. Well, all of a sudden there's this short, nosy, in my business, our business man comes up and says, you're studying the Bible and so forth. And yes, we do this. We come every Sunday. And he says, well, I'm Obed Kirkpatrick. And there's no correlation between going to marriage enrichment and Obed. There is nothing. So, and this is one of the things when we went out to Subway a couple of weeks ago, I had never thought about that. Never thought about that. And I think it's a huge story or an accomplishment of God answering my prayer. And, so he says to me more than the other two gentlemen, he says, you know anything about Lo Ammi? You know? He said, go study a little bit of Hosea or something. Don't even know where Hosea is. Never opened it up in the Baptist church. Never did anything with it. So anyway, he just, you know, one word or so forth and so on. And it got to the point where I'd have our Bible study, good Baptist Bible study, and then me and Obed would sit down, you know, and have a little bit of talk and everything going on. Never pushy, never anything, always giving. I mean, it's just...
Obed would continue to come.
Yeah, yeah.
He always went to
Shoney's and had a biscuit and something, you know, nothing big. I don't know what it was. But he talked with all three of us, but I guess I sparked the most curiosity or interest in keeping up with him. So we roll around and we decide there's another marriage encounter weekend, and Melanie and I have been married. Let's go see how we're doing. Let's go check it out. Let's go, you know, go down there and just see how good we did from last year learning about it to this year doing it. And I'm just telling you, that's the strangest thing. There was the same people at the marriage enrichment counselor the next year. And needless to say, I wasn't doing too good on my Baptist. And I remember the one thing, and Donald, we brought it up again the other day in Sunday school. Obed doesn't take anything away. He only wants to give. Don't take something away from somebody. And I can tell you, nobody tried to take anything away from me. All they did was express some beliefs and some scriptures that might be contrary to what I believe. And I don't mean that they're trying to be contrary. They're just speaking from the word rightly divided. And the one thing I remember on this one while we were all at coffee calls, I kept saying, I need sugar, more sugar. And so John Salvatore pulls off the top and pours the sugar all over my stuff. So we had a great old time. But looking back on all this and then seeing with Obed and so forth and so on, I mean, you can see the big picture. Well, curiosity, first of all, since I had a problem with Jimmy Swaggart, since I had a problem with the Holy Rollies, and I had a problem now hearing some scripture, taking it home, didn't know anything about being a Berean, but taking it home and studying it, seeing what they say, I said, they seem to be right on this, and they seem to be right on this. My deal is, I believed and understood, and he was supporting it with scripture, losing your salvation, Jimmy Swaggart. So I could see that these people were trying to get what they had, but they wanted to keep their Southern Baptist or their Baptist name or whatever. So we then got a book called Things That Differ. And I remember one night calling Wayne, hey, get it, I get it. And I can remember Melanie was none too happy because she understood it before I did and didn't understand with her talking to me why I didn't get it. So that was contention there, but the fact is I got it. In this process of time and going out to Wayne and Lisa's trailer, little green trailer with a little, one time they had a cow. I don't know if they ever had a horse. Did they have a horse? I think they had a horse. Anyway, the long and the short of it, and the short of it being, was Amy was 1 year old in diapers. So that's however the years and whatever that puts it into. That's a time frame. But we kept going, kept studying. I'd bring my scripture. They'd open their Bible and have their scripture, and we'd have a Bible study. And I didn't want to swallow this hook, line, or sinker because I was having a problem with the Baptist church, having a problem here, having a problem there, and I wanted to know the truth. Well, they were consistent. They were in season, out of season, consistent. Kept hearing it, would visit, go to Bible study over at the house. Ovid and Linda's. I don't know. Chip and Diane lived right beside them. So we're going to Bible study there, staying in our church, learning, seeing what's going on with Right Division. And I will tell you, the saddest day of my life was because you get baptized and join the church. And I did sing in the choir. Saddest day was Melanie was getting baptized, and I knew she didn't need to be baptized. And, I mean, it just was wrong. She was getting wet. There was no purpose to it, and we knew it. That was one of the, we knew it. So we made a decision to, and actually had a meeting. We wanted to meet. It wasn't just cut ties and run. Had a meeting with John Robson, and he says, "You're divorcing the church." And the big deal with the Southern Baptists is you can believe, and this was he even said it, you can believe any way you want to believe. It's an individual's interpretation. Well, that did not make any sense to me, because it was pretty clear where we're going with this rightly dividing the word of truth. So much so that Keith, and won't use his last name, Keith and I would sit while we were going to the Baptist church, and we had these questions, and we'd open up the word, and we couldn't get it, couldn't understand it, didn't make sense, didn't fit in. And I tell you, when we understood Right Division, and they lived in the same neighborhood Melanie and I did, I went down to their house, we went down to their house, and it's like Dave said last week, he may have gone too soon, I don't know, I had all the answers, and I just knew that Keith would be doing somersaults to hear that there were answers to the questions we were asking. And they were some of our best friends. So much so that this lady sewed costumes, did things for theater. She made me a costume for the Renaissance Festival in Houston where Melanie and I did our honeymoon. No small feat to do what she did. They really cared about us. And she came in while we were talking and discussing the word, and she's listening on the outskirts. Either he leaves or I leave. I literally was escorted out of the house. They did not want to hear anything about Right Division. And to this day, I still wonder how Keith's doing, because I know he'd be free from the questions that he and I shared in. So we met with John. He said, "But you can believe anything you want, anything," and that just didn't work. And he said, "You're divorcing the church. Do you remember how you were when you got a divorce, how it ripped you up? That's what you're doing to the church," and so forth and so on. And we didn't believe anymore. So we went to the funeral home where the dead were made alive again. And it was fantastic. And I was doing the beta video and manning a camera and so forth and so on.
In Denham. Well, a lot of people wouldn't know that.
Where the old funeral home is, which is now a funeral home again. Where the dead are made alive. I thoroughly enjoyed everything out there, believed it was all the truth, but I will tell you that something was driving me crazy, and just knew that if I died, I was going to hell. I just knew that. Something wasn't right. What's the last thing I need to do? What can I do to get saved? What, you know, I'm hearing everything I hear today. But what is there's something I've got to do. And I need to do it before I die. I need to do it because I don't want to go to hell. So, a shorter man, not much shorter, but a shorter man standing here behind this podium, and I'm sitting about where Christy and Marshall are sitting. He does a message on the faith of Christ, and it's everything that Christ did. Christ fulfilled this, that, and the other thing. Dotted the I's, crossed the T's, jot and tittle. He did everything. And that Sunday morning, I realized I didn't have to do anything, because anything and everything that had to be done, Jesus Christ did. And I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I will tell you that literally, and coming out of the church, coming out the side door facing west, the sun beaming, everything else, I tell you, the people had to look up to me because I was giving my saying I was saved. I was saved. Praise God. I'm free. I was walking a foot off the, in the air, a foot off the ground. I mean, it was just unbelievable. It was great. But I will tell you, it was 2.5 years of searching this, believing this, because I didn't want to be duped again or again. I wanted the truth. And when I tell you that there's two meetings in New Orleans a year apart, Obed Kirkpatrick meeting at the Shoney's, and then going to Bible studies at his house, and then finally going to the church and giving up, and so much was I indoctrinated into the Baptist church, and Deborah knows this to be true, somewhere the book they gave me to be a deacon is somewhere in my possession. Because I'm going to sell it someday. Don't get on me about holding on to stuff. But they wanted me to be a deacon. And so it's there somewhere, though, Deborah. We'll find it. So anyway. So, you know, got saved, came over, kept doing the same thing. I keep growing in the Lord. And Donald made a statement a couple of weeks ago in Sunday school, and you've got to take it in context. I believe when Paul's talking to people believing in vain, they heard the gospel. And if you hear the gospel that Paul gives you and you receive it, you're sealed. But on the other side, about, you know, for 5 and 4 years ago, there was this big deal about lost believers within the grace movement. And whatever that means to somebody, I can tell you I was a lost believer. I had total faith and belief that I was going to heaven. I knew everything. I knew that Christ died, I want to say for my sins, was buried and rose again. And if I had died, I thought I'd go to heaven. I can tell you after the inward man knowing he's going to hell and hearing a message on my verse in the Bible, hearing a message that Jesus did it all, and you could go to a bunch of them, but my verse that saved me was Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, and I'm going to read it the way my Bible said it. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ, even we have, and my Scofield Bible in the margin said of, and I knew that of and in isn't the same thing. Faith in Christ means I've got to do something, take away from Christ, whatever. So I'm going to read it correctly, but this was the closing verse that saved my wretched soul. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I no longer had to look for that last thing I had to do, and that Jesus paid it all. Whoa. And it's the faith of Christ that did the saving, and he still does it today. And so, I study. Not enough. I believe in the words that are preached here, and I love listening to the CDs, and I like listening to the Bible conference and knowing that the men that I listen to preach the grace message. I have not heard them stumble or corrupt it, and I think it's a shame what is going on within the grace movement by certain people. But having said that, I love growing every day. I like doing the music and hearing the songs and wondering about the people that can write the songs that they wrote because they sound like they understood right division. So I've never looked back. I've never I know where I hang my hat, so to speak, on my salvation. I couldn't lose it if I tried. And so now I go out and I witness to people when I feel the unction, so to speak, and which has been quite a bunch within this new job that I have that I can't stand. But at the same time, Deborah and I talk about it. I have the opportunity to meet and to speak to people and at least give them the gospel. And like I say, it can be discussions where the people are still talking to me. Oh, I believe what you believe. I believe. Well, I said, well, I'm eternally secure and I couldn't go to hell. Oh, no, no, no. You can do this, that, or us. And so then we get into scriptures like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. I mean, you start, these scriptures come to your mind to share with people. And yet they still having an issue with it, but they're still willing to talk. So I'm willing to still talk to them using the simplicity. Or it could be the lady at the Circle K the other day that was waiting for me to give her more money when I'd already given her ample money and was expecting change. And she apologized and says, I just can't watch the news anymore. I just can't take it. I said, boy, did something happen today? You know, because in fact, I called Deborah afterward because did something happen I didn't hear about? Was there another 9/11? You know, I don't know what it would be. But this lady was beside herself, and I said, well, do you want some good news? Yeah. I mean, really, she's back there. The good news is that Christ died for our sins, and we have a hope eternal in heaven. He was buried and raised again for our justification. And then all of a sudden, the smile came over. I said, look, I don't like it any better than you, but Paul calls what we're going through a light affliction. But just know the good news, the hope that goes with it, that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again, and someday we'll spend eternity with him if we believe that truth. So it turned her countenance around, and I hope it gives her something to think about, but you know, to hear the gospel. So that's it, you know, and there's plenty of time left. But like I say, I think, and I still think, and I think that I'm walking less with a cane today because of the prayer request I asked Christy to put out. And the medication, that I'm not so stubborn that I take the medication. And go and see where I stand tomorrow, on Friday. But my point is, I believe in prayer. And I don't take it lightly, and I thank God that he did it in such a way and worked miracles by introducing me to people that all tied together. And if I believe in Christ for my salvation, I can believe in other things. I don't need to stop at the salvation. I need to move forward, and that there is a purpose to everything that's going on. There's a purpose to why I'm at. There's an earthly purpose, a fleshly purpose, and there's a heavenly purpose. I'll know the heavenly purpose outside of witnessing to people. I'll know the heavenly purpose when I hope it's over, because I'm going to tell you folks, the only reason I'm doing this job is so that Deborah and I can be financially able. And that's a pitiful reason to go to work. But when it's all over, said, and done, well, hopefully you move to a better place, you know. But, I mean, what I'm saying is there's been a purpose to everything, and it's the same thing. And I thanked Deborah the other day. And we moved from the salvation is a miracle. And what I'm saying, there are other miracles that can keep going on outside of just our salvation. And I thanked Deborah the other day because she married a man that thought he had reached the pinnacle when I got Melanie back. I thought I had reached the pinnacle when I got Melanie back. And I just thank God that she saw some interest in me. And there's been plenty of miracles in this marriage, and I look forward to more. And I tell you, we pray diligently for our children and the different aspects of their lives. And I expect those things to happen because I thank God, like he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will hide your hearts in Christ Jesus. So I do pray for the things I desire because he answered the prayer to save a man who didn't want to be confused anymore. So I thank you very much for listening. That's my testimony.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I got a prayer.
All right.